Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us together in faith. Today is what we refer to as Trinity Sunday. And what that means is today we celebrate the Trinity. Okay? And we celebrate that unique unity that is found in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is what we celebrate. And what all this means, what makes this topic so unique, is how God is able to present himself with three distinct personalities and yet remain the same in essence. And this is what we celebrate today. And this is what we want to spend time talking about, the characteristics that make them unique, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in oneness and also divinely different in their functions. That's what we want to spend time with. The three personalities are so unique that you cannot manipulate them. You cannot persuade one against the other. They are so unique in their character, and they are so unique in their work and in their activities, that there is absolutely no way that you could take one of them, like the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, and persuade that one to do something different from what the other two would be doing. There is absolutely no way. So the three personalities are so unique in this way. You know, when kids are little in a home with parents, they will try to persuade one, and they will come to the one that is weaker, okay? My kids did that when they were young. They'd not come to me, to go to the mom, because she's the weaker one. They go to her and persuade her and get this thing agreed on, and then they come to me with it. And when I talk, what? No, you're not doing this. I talked to mommy already, and now my wings are broken. I can't do anything else. All right, so we've tried to use that. You can't try to use that sorrow with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, and with the Son. You cannot persuade either or. So you can't show more love to one and less love to the other. And so when we say we love Jesus, you are actually saying, I love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you say, I love the Father, I love you, you are saying, I love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you say, Holy Spirit, I love you, you are saying, I love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they are so unique in their essence and in their characteristics. And so from the beginning of time, there had always been a presence of the triune God throughout creation until now, this very moment. There has always been the presence of the triune God in everything, very undivided in their purpose. And this is why we need the triune God like in our day to day. Why do we need a triune God? We need a triune God because our world is so divided. The world we live in today is so divisive. And this divide didn't start now. It's been going on since the fall. You remember in the Garden of Eden, the moment Eve ate the fruit and gave it to Adam to eat, when God came in the garden, the division started right there. And when he asked Adam, why did you do this? He said, it was not me, it was the woman you brought here, the woman you made here. And he put the accusation on her. And when God asked the woman, why did you do this? It was not me, it was the serpent you created, came in there and did this. So everybody shifting blames, and the divide started at that point. Divisiveness have been a part of everything, has corrupted everything. We are divided in our homes. We are divided in our families. We are divided in the church. We are divided in our hearts. Our own hearts come against us. We are divided in the government. We are divided in politics. We are divided in every way, shape, or form you can think about. The world is divided. And the only person that is able to bring the world together is God, because he is the united, the one that is unified in his essence. Everybody seems to be pulling in different directions, but when you look at God, you never see confusion. You never see conflict. You never see competition. There is no fight amongst them. From the very first page of the Bible, God reveals himself in perfect unity. perfect unity. Before there was light, before there was land, before there was life, God presented himself in perfect unity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were already moving together in one before the world was created. They've been moving together. So when and Jesus was there in heaven, God did not randomly make Jesus after he wanted him to come and die for us, but he was there in heaven the whole time. The Trinity was always, as they existed in eternity, for eternity. So it was not at some point when Jesus came into existence. He's the eternal God. Just as the Father is eternal, so is the Son as well. And so when Jesus gave his final words before ascending into heaven, he tells the disciples, Matthew 28:19, where he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit." Okay? The same Trinity present in creation, listen, is the same Trinity that is present in salvation. The same Trinity that is present in creation, because the three of them were there, is the same Trinity that is present in salvation. Because he's telling us that once we win souls and bring them in the church, we must baptize them with water in the name of the what? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning of creation, what were the elements that were present there? It was water, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In salvation, what is present? Water, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that, did not tell us that God created the water then. He did create the water, but the water was there before. It was the only thing that we don't read in Genesis that God created at that moment. But he divided, the Bible says, the water from the waters. But the water was present at the beginning of creation. So water is always present when God is in the place of creating something new. Water is always present. So we see it in salvation. We see it in creation as well. So let's look at the 3 points in this morning's message so I can shut up and sit down. The first is, God, when God moves, he moves together. Okay? When God moves, he moves together. Just like we move together, that's the same way God moved together. We human beings, we have three dimensions. We have spirit, soul, and body. Now, which one of you left your soul home this morning? Which one of you left your spirit home this morning? So when you move with your body, soul, and spirit. You don't leave none of those part of you home. It always is with you, and they will always be with you unless we fall and die, and then the body goes to the grave. But we have this essence, this essence of us that we travel with. And the same thing with God. God is three-dimensional. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he moved with all of his essence together. He doesn't leave any part of him away from creation. So in Genesis 1:1-3 is the text that was read this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so when he created the heavens and the earth, the scripture tells us that the Father was present in creation. The Spirit of God was there. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God hover over the waters or the face of the deep. So the Spirit was present, and his job was to occupy every space on the earth at that time, because he is the one who executes God's order. So when God brings about new life in us, the Word of God is spoken, and regeneration takes place. But do you know who does the regenerating work of God? It is the Holy Spirit that brings about the new life. He is the same one who created all the stuff you see here in the world today, all of these natural things we look at with our eyes. These physical things were brought forth by the Holy Spirit. When God said, "Let there be light," boom, light appeared. That was the Holy Spirit who brought the light in and created everything as we see it so beautifully as it is today. So he was there, and Jesus Christ was present there too. How do we know that? Because the Bible said, God said, "Let there be." And the Bible tells us in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was," that's Jesus. So Jesus was present in creation. The Holy Spirit was present in creation. The three of them were there. Can you imagine that scene of darkness I mean, everything is dark. Everywhere is dark. There was chaos everywhere. And the world was formless. It was void. Just close your eyes for a minute and imagine what that emptiness looked like when God appeared in the situation and changed it around. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the three of them were involved in the renewing or recreation, creating of the world. The three of them were present there doing that work. Remember in Genesis, God also said when he was about to make man, let us make man in our what? Image and likeness. Who was the hour he talked about? Who were the people there that he was talking about? He was talking about not angels, but himself. He was talking about himself. He was referring to himself as Elohim. And in the Hebrew, Elohim means plural, means more than one, but one, but more than one, but one. That's what he's talking about. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So Jesus was involved in the process of creating, God creating us. The Holy Spirit was present there, and God himself was present when we were created. Okay? So, but while the earth was empty, heaven was united. So when your life is distorted and destroyed, that does not disunite the Holy Spirit. When the church becomes disunited or distorted, it does not disunite the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is still going to carry on the essence and purposes of God. He's in our heart. He does not come and become so familiarized with us that he will begin to, you know, let some things slide because, you know, he gets along with us because he knows us so very well. You know, he's been in us for so long. You know, I'm going to let this pass. I'm going to let this slide. He doesn't do that. He carries on the operation of God in our lives. So when we are not following the essence of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't follow us. The Bible says he gets grieved. He gets quenched inside of us. And sometimes when we continuously live in sin, you don't even feel his presence. He's there, but you don't feel him any longer. When you pray, you don't feel him. When you sing praises to God, you don't feel him when you worship, because your life is disconnected, all right, from God. So it is very important to understand that God comes in our lives, and he comes and he is unified, and he brings everything to us and wants us to be open to receive what he has to give to us. But in that, we have to be unified as well in order to receive the blessings that God has in store for us. Let me get to the next point. When God saves, he saves together. When God moves, he moves together. First point. Second, when God saves, he saves together. Look in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. It says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus tells them. And then he goes on to tell them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing to notice in this text is the word name, N-A-M-E. It is not pluralized. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't say in the names of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he's trying to tell us that he's talking about one God in three persons. God in three persons, we say Blessed Trinity. That's the three he is talking about. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One name, one God, one divine mission that they're carrying out together. The Father did not abandon humanity when he sent the Son into the world. The Son did not abandon us when he went back to heaven. And when the Holy Spirit came, he did not come to substitute. He came to do his part. But it is the same God working in three persons at three different times, in three different dispensations. But they carry on the same work. And each of the roles are very distinct in the way they're carrying it out. But they come for the same mission and with the same message. So all of heaven was united in bringing us back to God. All of heaven was. When Jesus went to the cross, heaven moved together. When Jesus was on the cross, heaven moved together. They didn't leave one part. When Jesus was hurt on the cross, the Father was hurt on the cross. The Spirit of God was hurt when Jesus was hurt. When he was wounded, they felt the wound. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God was grieved when Jesus was on the cross. Okay? So the whole Godhead suffered in this process as well. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son obeyed the Father, and the Holy Spirit came to empower the church. But they are all doing the same work. So salvation was not a divided effort by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't ever see it that way. They're all still working together. It was the united rescue mission of God to send for him to come and work with the Israelites. When God worked with the Israelites in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was present there. Jesus was present there. And this is the reason why many times on his mission work journey, he would meet people and talk to them about things that happened in the Old Testament. And there was a time when he got into a dialogue with the high priests, and he told them, before Abraham was, I am. Okay? Not I was, but I am. So he's telling them that I have been existing and still existing. All right? I may be 30 years old, 33 years old in this body, but I existed before this body. That's what he was trying to tell them. Before Abraham was, I am. So he was there with God in the Old Testament, working out the plans of God. We are not barely saved by a struggling God. God is not struggling to save us, okay? Because he has everything under control. So he's not struggling to save us. We were here in prayer meeting on this going Friday. And at one point in the time when we gather, when we gather, I said to everybody, pray. Everybody pray. Like, pray to God. And I saw some people look at me like, what? I said, pray. We can all pray together. And God will hear every single prayer that is being prayed. God is not like you and I. You can only listen to one person at a time. And as if you had 10 people standing here praying or talking to you at one time, you'd be like, please, hold one person, please, one at a time. Because that's the ability of your ears to hear one person at a time. Not with the Holy Spirit. He can hear billions of voices at one time, process all of those voices at the same time, and carry on the order of God. He is just so different. Don't ask me how he does it. And you know, but this is the thing that blows our mind about the God that we serve. All right? And they are so unified in the effort that when the Holy Spirit hears something from you, the Father hears it and the Son hears it as well. That's the uniqueness that they have, because Jesus hears it. So he sits in heaven. What is he doing? The Bible says he's interceding for you and I before the Father. So he gets the message. When we pray, he gets the message. When you worship God, he gets the message. The Holy Spirit gets the message. It's right there in you. The Father gets the message, and Jesus gets the message. When we are praying, when you are praising, whatever you are doing, he takes that message, and Jesus is interceding before the Father about the message the Father already knows about you, but they're all connected together, cares about us, and carry on the orders of the Godhead, and not being affected or tired or weary. I've heard people say stuff like, you know, I'm not going to bother God with this. He got enough on his plate. What? God never has enough on his plate. God's plate is never full. That's why he says to us, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. His plate is never full. The world is too small. The work is too small. If you look at the vastness of space and see the galaxy and all of these different planets that are out there, when you gaze at that kind of thing, it'll change your mind about the God that we serve. Just how big he is. This globe that we live on is just one of billions. And we don't know whether he has people on other planets somewhere. We don't know. All we know of is what we know of. But this God is great. And he's working together in unison with the three of himself. So let's look at the last one. We talk about when God moves, he moves together. When God saves, he saves together. Lastly, when God calls, he calls together. Look in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 again. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now notice that the unity of the Trinity becomes the pattern for the church. For the church. Listen, for the church. This is the pattern for the church. Jesus sends the disciples into the world under one name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why is he doing this? It's because the mission cannot move forward while they are divided or through division. They have to be together. So he tells the disciples to go in this one name, which is in three personalities, but one name. And the church was never called to mirror the chaos of the world that we live in. The church was called to unity. And that's what you will read in John 17. Jesus is praying in John 17 over and over in that prayer. Let them be one as we are one. Let them be one as we are one. Jesus wants the church to be so unified that we will look like the Trinity. He wants that unity in the church to look like the Trinity. And this is the reason why the evil one will come in a congregation or come in a denomination and this bring about a lot of destruction and distortion to get folks divided. Because if he can divide the church, he got the church. And because the power of God will not work in a church that is divided. The power of God, listen, will never work in a home that is divided. The power of God will not work in a government that is divided. Unity is what God calls for. And so when the church gathers like this, it doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter none of that. When we come together in God, we must be unified because the Holy Spirit is a unified body and he calls the church into this unity as well. The church will call to reflect the unity of heaven. That's the kind of unity God wants us to reflect. The unity of heaven, to be together, to have one mission, to have one purpose, to exist for one reason, and that is to worship Jesus. And when we gather in worship on Sunday morning, it is not about you or me. We lay ourselves aside and we worship Jesus for that moment. Those 2 or 3 hours that we gather in here, we reflect, we focus, and we give ourselves away. That's what it's about. And when you walk out of church on Sunday, you have to feel like something happened when you came in here. And in order to feel like something happened, you got to literally lay down yourself before God and let him do that. But the church has to be in unity to enjoy that. Do you know that as we gather here this morning, that God's presence is in this room? He didn't come here partially. He came here fully. And God came here wholly. And God came here strong to bless the hearts of those who would be in tune with him. Do you know why the church don't always feel God's presence? Because we come in and we become disconnected. Some of us are thinking about things outside. We're thinking about the things that we didn't do. We're thinking about the pressure cooker that we left on in the house. We're thinking about this and thinking about that. We're thinking about the bills. All that stuff is crowding on us, not giving us the chance to really receive what God has brought in the house for us. But if we open up ourselves to God, the one that we came to worship, and forget about everybody else. This is not just a time of fellowship. Yes, it is. But the actual reason why we gather in this room is to receive from the Trinity. God is busy in heaven unifying himself just for us. And we have to do the same here, unifying ourselves just to receive what God has in store for us. So the unity teaches us how to do what? To walk together. Scripture says, how can two walk together except they agree? It must three. How can two walk together except they agree? So the Trinity teaches us how to walk together. We look at how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit walk together, and we learn from that, and we unified ourselves as the church. It also teaches us how to serve together. We see the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are serving together. When the Israelites left Egypt, God was with them as a pillar of cloud by day and as a pillar of fire by night. He made his presence known. He was there. And some people say it's the Father who was with them at the time. But the three of them were there. But the Father was carrying on his part of the deal when it comes to the function. And he was doing that. Then after a whole dispensation passed, then Jesus came in the scene. In human flesh, they carry on the same work, but three different ways to reach to this one goal. And so Jesus came and he went on the cross and died and rose from the grave, went back to heaven. He says, look, I'm not leaving you guys. I'm coming right back. And he came right back in person of the Holy Spirit. So God has never left us. He's always been there since he came back and made the promise to the evil one. He says that the seed of a woman will crush your head. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head, God told him. And since he said that, he's been working with us to make that happen. Look at us today. We're sitting in here because of this glorifying, unified work of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And they carry on the work so smoothly, without no distortion or distraction, without no division. And that's how God's calling us to do in every essence and every station that he's placed in our lives. He wants us to be unified and carry on the work. Do you know why the evil one comes in and brings about disagreement? He brings in the disagreement so we will not serve together. And he does that so that people will walk away, so that the church will become distorted and destroyed, or whatever he wants to do. And the way to do that is to cause people to break apart. That's what he does. But when the church is unified, we can see the power and presence of God moving through and in that church. The Holy Spirit and, you see the Trinity moving together. They move together from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They are moving together. Three persons, yet one God. Three functions, yet one purpose. They had only one purpose to fulfill. And that is the problem with many believers today. Everybody wants prominence. Everybody wants partnership, okay? Nobody wants partnership. Everybody wants permanence, but nobody wants partnership. We don't want to work together to carry on the work of God. Do you know why we have so many little churches along the roadside? Because everybody wants to be pastor. Everybody wants to sit up there high, when your calling might not be to become a pastor. God might be calling you to sweep the floor, but you love being up here because you see other people standing here. You want to come and stand here too. So you open your little church in the closet over there, and you get five members, and your church is going on. And as far as you're concerned, that's good enough. So long as people honor you as pastor. Did God call you to do that? Or he calls you to do something else? And so he's calling us to come together and unify and build a glorious church. That's what God wants us to do. But that will not happen unless we become unified in our efforts and do things together. But when heaven moves through unity, the Father glorifies the Son. We see this. The Son obeys the Father in the process, and the Spirit points people to Jesus. This is the thing that messes up the mind of the Muslims. How would Jesus be God? And he says that, and he would be the Father, and then he says that he obeys the Father. How can he be the Father? And he obeys the Father. And so the minds, they're trying to use the natural understanding to comprehend this whole thing. Remember when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and everything will be okay with us. Just show us the Father. And Jesus said, you've been with me all this time and you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Because the three of them are one. But in the order of things, Jesus has to obey the Father to carry out his mission. Just as the Holy Spirit right now is obeying the Father and the Son in the process of carrying out his mission. But all of them are working together to, come to the same conclusion and carry out the same goal. And that is to redeem mankind, to bring us back unto God. In the end, there will be a glorious ending where God is going to bring down the new heaven and the new earth. And we will live in the new heaven and the new earth forever and ever, with no more sin and sickness and sorrows and sufferings. None of that stuff will be there. That is the point at which God is going to accomplish this mission work that is going on. But as we are journeying towards that fulfillment, the Holy Spirit is inside of us now. He's there with you right now. Right now, he's here. And he's carrying on this regenerating work. He's carrying on the process of sanctification in us. And all these things, that's why when a Christian is living in sin, you don't feel pleased by the things you're doing. That's because the Holy Spirit is with you. When you grieve him, you will feel that grief because he is in you, okay? But he's here to do God's work, and he's carrying on that order until the last day. And someday, he's going to go back to heaven. And when he goes back to heaven, it will be the day that no one will be able to get saved again. No one will be able to obtain salvation when that day comes, when the Holy Spirit leaves here, leaves the earth. And so those who would not be saved will remain unsaved after that happened, because the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit would have ended at that point. And then God would get ready to pull us into this new earth and new heaven, where now we will be with him, we will see Jesus, we will see God the Father, we'll see the Holy Spirit, we'll see the Trinity, and they will be with us in oneness. And we pray for that to come. But as we do, let us enjoy God together and not look at him at some distance, thinking that the Holy Spirit is separate from the Father and the Son. They all are with us, and that what makes us glorious and great. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts, keep you steadfast in your faith, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.